If you'd stand with me this evening, stand with me as we turn to Psalms chapter 23. Book of Psalms in chapter 23. We finally came to my favorite psalm, one at least. Notice with me as we began reading from verse 1. Of course, this psalm is a favorite of many people. It's comforted many souls. It's given rest to the sick and the weary and the dying, the poor, the discouraged. It's an oasis in the desert, and it's a psalm of he's and me's. He said in verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, he leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father, we thank you this evening for the time that you've given us together to pray together, to study thy word together, to sing the songs of Zion together. God, we ask your blessings and anointing upon the reading of the Scriptures here this evening. Lord, meet with us, be with us, for it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I believe it's 2002, 4 years ago, that I preached from this text, and I'm going to give a similar outline as we looked at then. I'm going to divide the psalm up into three divisions. But before I do, let me give you a few thoughts and a few verses on this psalm, and especially the Lord being our shepherd. Now, last Wednesday night, we had studied in Psalms chapter 22, dealing with the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. These psalms are messianic in nature. And so, as we began looking at that, we found that Psalms 22 is dealing with Christ's sufferings. Psalms chapter 23 is dealing with His resurrection, Him seated now at the right hand of the Father. Then as you get into chapter 24, you're going to be dealing with His future coming, His glory, His kingdom. So as we go to the New Testament, not asking you to turn there, but as we go into the New Testament, we find Jesus Christ referred to as the shepherd in three different ways. As a matter of fact, in John 10, verse 11, He is called the Good Shepherd in reference to Him coming to this earth and giving His life that you and I might have life, which will match up with Psalms chapter 22, the sufferings of Christ. Then in Hebrews 13, 20, He is called the Great Shepherd. The Great Shepherd, which fits in with Psalms chapter 23, His present ministry today, seated at the right hand of the Father, after that He was raised from the dead. And then in chapter 5 and verse 4, He is called the Chief Shepherd, which in the context of 1 Peter chapter 4, the reference is to His second coming, which fits Psalms chapter 24, talking about His glory. So we have in these three Psalms His sufferings, His resurrection, and His glory. Now I want you to notice with me that as we begin here, the first two verses we're going to talk about the shepherd's presence in these first two verses. You realize this evening that we as Christians are referred to as sheep. The Bible says in Psalms 100, I am going to read a couple of verses from there. In Psalms 100, another great psalm, He says in verse 1, He said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord He is God. It is He that has made us and not we ourselves. He said, we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. So as we come to the Scriptures, we find that we that are believers are referred to as sheep. The nearest animal, I guess, to man that you can find. When you consider, and I've never been around many sheep. My dad, his last year or two on this earth, he bought one, and I said, "What'd you get a sheep for?" He said, "I just want to learn something about them." He said, "I've never been around them much, you know. I think out west he had been around them." He said, "I just want to learn something about them. The Bible had so much to say about them." He said, "I bought one." But sheep, they're used as an analogy for man, and as you and I as believers. And a sheep, their body temperature is about 103, and they can't run very far, very fast. They'll die. You know, they'll just stroke out and die. Sheep are basically dumb animals. They're hard to train. Now, keep that in mind. He's talking in reference to you and I. You know, the Bible says we're all like sheep. We went astray in Isaiah chapter 53. And they're a defenseless animal. They don't hear very well. They don't see very well. They don't have claws and horns and fangs and whatever to protect them. They need somebody to take care of them. They're weak animals. They stray away easily. And they're easy to disturb. I mean, they're very easy to disturb. And when you add all this up, you find that that we're the same way. We're weak. We need help. We cannot defend ourselves from the world and the devil. We need the Lord to help us. And I've been told, and I've read this, that only a sick sheep will follow a stranger. You know, Jesus said, you know, "You're my sheep. You hear my voice. You do follow me." In the book of John in chapter 10, about verse 27. And so we find that the healthy sheep will follow the shepherd. And we know that the sick animal sometimes will not. So we find, as we come to the Scriptures here, the Lord is our shepherd. He said in verse 1, he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Now, the word shepherd is used many times in the Bible. For time's sake, I'm not going to start running reference. But in Isaiah 40, verses 10 through 11, Jeremiah 50, verses 6 through 19, these verses are dealing with a shepherd. The shepherd carries, the word carries the thought of tenderness, security, provision, things of that nature. He stays close to the flock. And that's the way the Lord Jesus Christ is to you and I. Psalms 80 and verse 1 also speaks of a shepherd, and there's many other verses that speak of a shepherd. He said here in verse 1, he said, "The Lord is my shepherd," and he said, "I shall not want," showing that God supplies all of our needs. Many verses bear this out. Psalms 34, verses 7 through 10, and many, many verses throughout the Scripture. He said in verse 2, he said, "And he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." The green pastures shows that the Lord gives rest for our weary souls. Matthew 11, verse 28, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke of people coming to Him. He would give them rest. He would comfort them. It says, "Come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden." He said, "I will give you rest." The Lord said He would give us rest. And then He says here in verse 2, He says, "He restoreth my soul, and He leadeth me in the paths of..." I'm sorry, I'm in verse 3. Let me back up verse 2. "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." And again, we know that sheep are afraid of raging waters. And we know that the Lord Jesus Christ, He stills the water. And He makes things calm for us. The Bible in Isaiah, in chapter 26, I'm going to read one verse out of that chapter. In Isaiah, in chapter 26, in verse 3, he says, "Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." And the good shepherd, the sheep that's got his mind upon the Lord, or the shepherd, and follows the shepherd, he will be carried into green pastures. He'll be supplied all that he needs. And also he'll be brought to still waters to drink from. And he says here that for you and I, he said, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." As long as our mind is stayed on the Lord and we don't get sidetracked, he's saying that he will give us perfect peace because we trust in him. We lose our peace and our joy when we take our eyes off of the Lord. And so this is a wonderful psalm. I was thinking today, I preached down here at the Senior Citizen Center today, and I was thinking about there's always some missing. Some have died. Some in the nursing home, hospital, or bedridden, or whatever. There's some that are there that are in fairly decent health, but most of them have some type of a problem. And I was thinking, and as a matter of fact, since I was preaching on this tonight, I just preached on it down there, you know, as well. And, you know, we have no hope or anything outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're all going to end up at that place one day where that we're going to get old, we're going to die, we're going to leave this world, we're going to leave everything that we've accumulated, and we're going to have to meet the Lord. When my dad died 2 years ago this month, I mentioned him a week or so ago, or recently, when he died, as he took his last breath upon the face of this earth, he heard me reading Psalms chapter 23 with friends and family standing around him singing hymns. That's how important that this psalm is to me. Because he says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and He leadeth me beside the still waters." Now, coming to verse 3 and 4, we see the shepherd's protection, His presence in verse 1 and 2, His protection. You and I are no match for the devil, as I've already mentioned. I hear people talking about binding the devil, and all this kind of stuff. I hear people, I heard a preacher one time talking about charging hell with a water bucket or a water pistol. I said, "You're nuts." That you better have the Lord charging and you behind Him if you're going to charge anything, And we're no match for the devil of the world. We really aren't. He said in verse 3 and 4, "He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me into the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, and though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me, and Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me." Notice some things that are mentioned as we scan down through these verses here. First of all, I want you to notice in verse 3, He says, "He restoreth my soul." I can think of different ones, like David, that needed to be restored. I've had to be restored over the years. And David in Psalms chapter 51 and chapter 32, he talks about his restoration. I think about another man in John chapter 20, verses 15 through about 20. Peter there denied the Lord, before Jesus went to the cross and before He was resurrected. He denied the Lord. He needed to be restored. And so he says here, "He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." Notice He leads us. The shepherd's out front like a general leading. And again, the sheep hear the shepherd's voice in John 10, 27, and they do follow. And so He leadeth us here in this passage. Then He said in verse 4, He said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Now that's a heavy verse when you think about it. What is a valley? A valley is a low place. We don't know what that is much down here on the coast, but a valley is a low place. And it's like going in mountains, and mountains on either side, and the enemy, in other words, when you're in battle, you want the high ground. And the enemy is on the high ground shooting the arrows, or whatever the case may be. And going through the valley here, Lester Roloff said, "When you get in the valley," he said, "just plow it. when you get just plow it, so you the best crops come out of there." And we live, by the way, in the shadow of death from the day we were born into this world. Now, he did not necessarily say in the passage of death, even though death would be included, as I just mentioned with my father, 2 years ago. Christ has already went through the valley for you and I. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 through 59, that He's basically taken the sting out of death. And you read that, it's talking about the resurrection. Christ has went through that for you and I. So death's stinger has been removed. And when He says here, He says here, "Yea, and though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." The shadow of death. Death cannot hold us, but the shadow of death. You see, the shadow of a dog can't bite you, amen? And so he's talking about the shadow of death. You see, and Christ has done dealt with the issue of death. And so, he says here in verse 4, "And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Faith and fear, neighbors, live next door together. And you gotta be with it to keep fear out of your heart. God has not given us the spirit of fear, of love and power and a sound mind, and still yet fear enters in our heart. Fear enters in our heart when it comes to sickness. How many times have I told my wife to do? We just had something, a cold or something. Thought I was going to die and tell her what she needs to do with everything. Had pneumonia one time about 14 years ago, and I wrote out a list what she needed to do when I passed away. I thought I was going to die. Well, I recovered. It's been about 14 years later, you know. But the fear that comes in our heart of financial failure or health, a number of things like the fear. He says here in this, he said, "And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Can we honestly say that here today? Again, the valley could be death, could be finances, could be sickness, could be a number of things that would affect us. But he said, "I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Now the Lord has made a promise to you and I that when we're in the valley, the shadow of death, when we're in that valley, whether it's through death or through sickness or sorrows or problems or whatever, He has made a promise in these passages that He will be with us. That is a promise that we have. And He says here, He also says, and by the way, the promise of the Lord being with you, Isaiah 41 verses 10 through 13. Isaiah 41 verses 10 through 13. Then He said here in verse 4, He said, "For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." The rod would be like a club used for the foe. But it also can be used for discipline, to govern and to rule. And we know that to be true. The staff here is to guide the sheep, to pull them from danger, to restore them. You see, to support them, things of that nature. So He says that thou art with me in verse 4, and He said, "And thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." So even when the rod was used on the enemy, but even when the rod was used on David as discipline, he was willing to say, "Lord, it comforts me. You've kept me in line. You've brought me back to the place that I should be." And he cries out in Psalms 51, I believe it is, he said, "Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." And then I want you to notice as we come to the last part of this psalm in verses 5 and verse 6, and we'll call this the shepherd's provision. And I want you to notice just the words. And again, we could run many references. I'll give you just a few here. Wonderful things. But he said in verse 5, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies." The table. Psalms 78, verses 12 through 29. The question is asked, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? And the answer is yes. The table has to do with a feast or a banquet. And we know that friendship, when we talk about friendship, we love to sit and eat with one another. That's a big pastime of most people. And it shows love and intimacy and whatever. We enjoy eating with one another. There's nothing wrong with that. And so we find here in this passage, by the way, spiritually speaking, the table would have to do with fellowship and communion. You see, physically speaking, just God supplied the needs, the food, whatever, for the nation of Israel for 40 years. The shoes didn't wear out. The clothes didn't wear out. They had manna from heaven. It's called angel's food. And we won't turn around and call it devil's food cake and stuff like that. But it's called angel's food in the Bible. You know, and we always mess everything up. But he said here in verse 5, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies." Collard greens, biscuit, fried chicken, apple pie. You know, he said he can prepare a table in the wilderness. Amen? God spread a table. He spread a table. He spreads a table for you and I. We're honored guests at God's table. Amen? Now notice he goes on to say, and by the way, David's in the cave probably when he wrote this. He probably wrote Psalms 23 toward the end of his life or in the middle of problems and still yet testified to the fact that God is taking care of him. Notice with me that he mentions something else in verse 5. He said, "And thou anointest my head," notice, "with oil." Oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, anointing. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28, Psalms 45 and verse 7. We find it's consecrating, setting something apart. And he's saying to the Lord, he said, "You not only prepared a table, you not only have given me my provision, but," he said, "you have anointed my head with oil." Potentates, prophets, priests were anointed in the Old Testament with oil. With oil. And so as we look at this, he's saying that, "Lord, you've given me your Holy Spirit. You've set me apart. You have anointed me. I am yours. I belong to you." He dwells in the believer. Amen. And then something else in verse 5 that he says I believe is very important. He said, "My cup runneth over." A cup running over means what? It means abundance, does it not? It means it has to do with abundance. Living in the overflow and not under the circumstances. See? The majority of us live under the circumstances. We don't live in the overflow. Let me give you three verses. Nehemiah 8:10 says, "The joy of the Lord is our strength." 1 Peter 1:8 says, "Rejoice in unspeakable joy." And then in Philippians 4:4, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice. One man made this statement. He said, "Of all the lights you carry in your face, joy reaches the furthest out to sea." The joy of the Lord, when it is seen in the face of the believer, that will be the thing that will encourage people, that will impress people more than anything else. You can have all the abilities and talents and be able to speak and sing and whatever the case may be, but to have the joy, let them see the Lord in your face. In your face. It needs to be seen. He says here in verse 5, he said, "In my head, anointeth my head with oil, and my cup runneth over." Again, living in the overflow. The cup here is a symbol of joy. It's a symbol of joy. And it's a symbol of abundance. And then he says in verses 6, and in, notice in verse 6, he says this, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Do you believe that? Follow you all the way to the end. All the way to the end. He says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord." Well, we're in His body now. In Revelation 21, verses 1 through 27, we're going to live in His house, the new city, New Jerusalem. This earth is only a dressing room for that. That's all it is. And then He says here, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever," showing the permanence. Showing the permanence. And again, the Bible says in Isaiah 53:6, "All we like sheep have gone astray." In Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 7, there is 99 sheep and what? One went astray. And what did the Lord do? Went after that one sheep. Showing the importance of God's people and what they mean to Him. You know what? The more that I think about this, by the way, Matthew 25 separates the sheep and the goats. Separates the sheep and the goats. But when I consider this, and I consider all that Jesus Christ did for us, and this thing was planned out before the foundation of the world. Planned out before the foundation of the world. Before man was ever created, God planned out His redemption. And then went to the cross and died for the sins of mankind, that He might redeem His people. Well, if you think about this, if He went through all of this, some people think He saved us and just leave us hanging. He left town and He's not coming back. But if He planned out your salvation, you was in His mind before God ever put Adam on this earth, before He ever created the universe. And then He took the time, after 4,000 years of human history, to come to this earth and take up on flesh and hang between heaven and hell on Calvary's cross. Please, this evening, realize not only is He coming again to receive His bride, but please understand tonight, as we've read in Psalms 23, that He is concerned about every one of His children, His sheep, here this evening. That He is very concerned as He is at the right hand of the Father. If you can keep that in mind, I know it's sometimes it's difficult living in this world and rubbing shoulders with this world, but if you can keep those things in your mind, you won't have too many discouraged days. You will live in the overflow. You will not be overcome or under the circumstances if we can just keep these things in mind. It's how much that God really loved us. And if you'll think from eternity past to eternity future and think about everything that's in between there, please, everything that's in between there, I'll tell you what, it'll make you want to get up and run around the building, amen? Make you want to shout. Instead of looking like you've been eating prunes. We're going to stop right there.